I don't know what to do. Okay, I'm about to use a teacher thing. If you can hear my voice, clap once. Okay. 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 I'm going to do a couple of announcements. Thank you, guys. I think I have some berry in my teeth. I was just eating, so sorry about that. Okay, a couple of things. This week we have the workout on the beach. That's Thursday. I've only gotten a couple RSVPs, so if you could pull out your phones now if you think you're going to make it and text me now, that would be awesome. I'll just tell you my phone number because it's really tiny on there. And then you can text me now or text me later. Today's technically the last day to RSVP just because I do have snacks and things like that I want to prepare. But if you like wake up on Thursday and feel like joining, you can still join. Okay, my phone number is 951-640-1670. If you just want to text me if you're joining, that's this Thursday. And all the details are on the flyer. Yeah, just going to make a half an hour workout. And then afterwards, we're going to walk to Vacancy Coffee for anyone who wants to join. There is childcare available at the church if you want to do that. I'm going to embrace the chaos and bring my toddler. So you're welcome to do that too. And it's totally free. Yeah. Okay. Other announcement. We're doing a pumpkins and pancakes event just at my house, just like a play date in my backyard, in a couple weeks. Let me just read from the flyer. Okay, October 27th, that's a Monday, from 10 to 12. Bring all the kiddos. I'll have pancakes, and then I'll have paint supplies for your kids to paint pumpkins. So you bring a pumpkin. If you don't have a chance to bring a pumpkin, we'll find something else for them to paint, so no worries. And my address is on the flyer. We'll get this sent out. And then one more announcement. Okay, last thing. For anyone who missed the first week, I explained kind of a new thing we're doing. There's a bulletin board in the back by the coffee. And I just want to give you guys a chance to invite people into what you're doing throughout your week. So we have like a little card. And you can, if you're going to the farmer's market is my like go-to example, or if you're going to a coffee shop and then a park afterwards, you can invite other moms into that. So you just write the details on the card. Ideally, you put it on the bulletin board at the start of our Tuesday mornings. So then it gives people a chance to look at the bulletin board and see what you're up to throughout the week. So yeah, we've done a coffee hangout with that. Abby did a pumpkin patch hangout last week that I went to. It was so fun. So yeah, thank you to those of you who are inviting us into what you're already doing. And just keep doing more of that. Yeah, any questions about anything I said? Are we good? Yeah. Yeah.
I have like diapers to donate. Like my daughter no longer needs them. Is that something I can ask you and then like just bring them and put them in the back for to give to people who might need diapers of a certain size? I know that's not like an event.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of something that you would tell people.
Yeah.
Because no one at my table needed this size diaper.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's lots of people that need a certain size diaper.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe you can tell me or your table leader, and then we could put it in, like, the leadership text and cast it out from there, I'd say.
Perfect.
So, yeah, myself is a great person to go to, or Jessica.
Okay.
But yeah, cool. Anyone else? Questions? Okay, cool. Thank you, guys. Who's next? Do I bring it? Okay, we're good.
We actually planted Kiva just to see how you do under pressure, Corinne. You passed. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm on devotion, so let's just, hi Amy, welcome back. Bonjour. Bonsoir. I don't know the difference. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Okay. Dear Jesus, I just look around this room and it's so full and it took so much effort for all of us to get here. I just thank you for that, Lord. I just thank you that you're blessing this room and this ministry with desired community and commitment from these moms and these kiddos. And I just pray that you bless everyone's efforts and that you draw us close to you, Lord, and that we walk away today being closer to you, Lord. So bless this morning, bless our mentor moms, and use this devotional, Lord, in your name, amen. All right, I don't know if you guys have heard of Our Daily Bread, anyone? Okay. I love it. It's like when you're in a busy season and you have literally 3 minutes to read. These are some bangers. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to read October 7th, and it's on the passage of John 16:33. So let me read that real quick. Should have had it pulled up before, sorry. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. During the Blitz in London on December 29th, 1940, a bomb destroyed a warehouse near St. Paul's Cathedral. When Biddy Chambers received the news that all 40,000 copies of Oswald Chambers' books stored there were lost, which she had compiled, edited, but not insured, she set down her teacup and remarked to her daughter, "Well, God has used the books for his glory, but now that is over. We'll wait and see what God will do now." 40,000 copies. It's crazy. Perhaps Biddy was remembering what her late husband Oswald had written at the start of the First World War. He noted how Jesus had spoken to his disciples about the inevitability of peril so that when horrible things happened, they would not be scared because he was with them. Jesus told his friends, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He wanted them to remain strong in their faith in his Father so they could withstand the trials and challenges they would endure. Biddy's quiet confidence in God carried her through, and eventually the books were reprinted and became classics for generations. We too can find encouragement and hope in Jesus' promises that he has overcome the world. We know that he won't leave us and will give us peace no matter what we face. And in addition to that verse, I wanted to read this one, which happens to be my life verse. I think I'd never worked this out before. James 1, 2 through 8. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea and will be blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position." So that was actually 3:9. But I just thought this was so applicable as moms and wives. I mean, when are we not going through trials or something that's kind of seemingly impossible? But just that the only place we are going to find peace is not in the podcast we can listen to, or the friend advice, or the research, or the methods. We will only find peace in Jesus. And so when we are faced with trials, to consider it joy and to pursue the Lord in those trials. So just wanted that to be an encouragement to myself and hopefully to you all. Feels like I should close in prayer again, so I'm just going to do that. Dear Lord, just thank you for your timeless truth, Lord. That is never outdated. We live in such a busy world with so many distractions that Satan wants to use, Lord, and I just thank you that when we're able to give your word time, Lord, and to really ponder it, that that's where the truth is, Lord. That's where we find peace, and that's where all the distractions fade away, Lord. So I just pray that in this season of life where we're so distracted and so busy and so tempted to seek out wisdom in alternative places, Lord, that you just continue to draw us to you, Lord, and that we seek you for wisdom, Lord, and that we find our peace in you, God. And when the hard times come, Lord, that we really do take the mindset of having joy through them, because we know we're going to build perseverance and find hope in you, Lord. Thank you for these truths, Lord. Be with our mentor, Mom Cher. In your name, amen. All right, mentor moms, come on up. Yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody want to go
Love it. Okay, good morning. So today we have our mentor mom share. So for those of you that are new, the mentor moms were given a prompt, which was parenting wholeheartedly per our theme. So they're each going to basically kind of share a spotlight on that theme. And so we will just each take a turn to share. At the end, we'll have questions. So if you have a question based on what one of them shares, if you want to jot it down, I'm not going to pause for each mom. We'll just do it all at the end. And then you already know them, so I'm not going to do a whole intro bio, but I am going to read their little Mad Lib because they did their little Mad Lib. So for each mom, I'll pop up and I'll share. So Carrie's going to go first because I made her. So let me find Carrie's here. Okay, so Carrie said, always seek God first. Remember that no phase your children or family is in will last forever. Never put your children above your marriage. Don't forget to stop and enjoy the moment. And sometimes you just have to laugh. All right, Carrie's going to share first. I guess we'll just pass this down.
Okay.
The most that we don't have a second.
Thank you. Good morning. This is really bad for me that I have this on my phone. I didn't have a printer. I messed up. So bear with me for that. And I also have to adjust my glasses a lot, too. So it's like double problem. When I thought about parenting wholeheartedly, I first thought about the Colossians 3 verse and theme that we have this year. And I jotted down a bunch of notes when Dave Gunlock spoke. I think that was just last Tuesday, right? And it really resonated with me and in my time as a mom to young kids. Whatever you do, doing mundane tasks, no one sees, a spirituality for the ordinary, which was sort of the title of his talk. God is more comfortable with our failure than we are because there's a deeper work. And I loved this. Everyone wants a revolution. No one wants to do the dishes. So I want to suggest that doing the dishes and changing diapers and comforting crying babies and engaging with toddlers for hours on end, that is the work. That's the deeper work. And it can be done wholeheartedly, even though it feels maybe like it can't. And I thought of a question. What if Jesus is seeing our work and our hearts, and what if that's like enough to sustain us daily, that we know he sees us and he's praised and honored by that work? And so turning our focus on his eyes, because he's seeing us, and his understanding, not yours and not others either. And I also want us to think about, what if this is actually a simple and sweet season, like more than we perceive, with parenting? And that there's not easy because life is always complicated. There's relationships and finances and medical issues. And those can be suffocating when you have littles. I know that. But it can be sweeter and more simple because you naturally have less options daily because you're having to be home, care for your kids, your households, everything. And even if you work outside the home, you still have more limited options because you have little ones. Sorry, I'm losing my place. And that can actually, what I experienced as a young mom, that helped me being intentional and my ability to feel whole of heart in mothering because I had limited options, if that makes sense. It's kind of a different way to look at it, maybe. My heart felt the most whole and the most settled with the Lord when I did things for and with our kids that I knew were good, right, helpful, and really in the practicalness, like set us up for success for that afternoon or that night or the next day. So basically doing extra work that you maybe don't feel like doing, but then you reap the rewards of feeling good about that and like, oh, geez, I gave it my all, and it's really paying off because we had a great afternoon, even if it's a short time frame. And so for me, that meant like trying to stick to an eating and sleeping schedule because that made me feel more content, and then I was able to give more of myself, if that makes sense. But I learned this the hard way because I used to be a little too controlling with my kids, my husband, like, oh, you can't do the laundry that way. Oh, no, the bottle, oh, that bottle's too hot. Oh, that bottle's too cold, whatever. So I learned the hard way to hold margin for last minute changes, or obviously someone gets sick, or even fun, spontaneous things that come up. And just dropping it and saying, you know what? Oh, fun. We're going to do that instead. And then also being open to respond to requests from your kids just because you know them so well. So even if they're little and you're like, you know what? Stopping and making muffins with my son or daughter, that's more important now, even though I do not want to make muffins right now. But that would have been me. And then also I felt it helped me to feel more wholehearted in my mothering. The more I intimately got to know each of my kids, even from little ages, so you can anticipate, like before a meal or a doctor's appointment or a play date, and anticipate how they're going to react or what they're going to need, not to baby them, but just to make it a more enjoyable experience for everybody, and that was good for my heart, too. I thought of the theology of work in mothering, which goes along with what we're talking about, and you guys have probably heard of Tim Keller's book, Every Good Endeavor, and his quote is work, and my edit is kind of the toiling as a mother, which toil doesn't mean negative toiling, it means doing something hard all the time as you're doing it for the Lord. So work is a divine calling through which we honor our heavenly master and love our neighbor, which I think our neighbors can be our children too, loving them in tangible ways. The work for where you and your family are now is hard, and it's good, and it's a godly calling. And I also used to pray for my mind to shift from, Lord, give me the strength, oh, this stinks, I don't like this, to thank you, Lord, for this, for my kids, because you gave them to me. I'm the best mom for them, even if I don't feel like it. And then I would always think of a specific moment each day or in our routine. For me, it was changing diapers. Every time I changed a diaper, this sounds so silly, but honestly, I would just stop and say, Lord, it's a privilege to change this diaper. So I had a pastor once, sorry, that said he always would pray for his day when he reached the first stop sign out of his neighborhood. And so that, like, stuck with me, like, pick something in your day where you just do it, even if it's the simple things. That helps kind of reframe your mind. And laugh a lot and be silly. I love doing that with my kids, and I'm doing it now with my grandkids, and it's just the best. Yeah, I was yesterday with my grandson. I was Jack. Everything Halloween is Jack. So we were skeletons going like this. So it was so fun. But he kept saying, Cece, we're nice, we're nice. I said, I know, we're nice. We are not mean skeletons. taking time for yourself to restore, whatever that means. Spending time with your husband, asking someone to watch your kids so you could go on a walk or get your nails done or whatever. To restore yourself, because then that makes you more wholehearted for your kids. And then also take pride in what you do. I love thinking of just doing the next right thing is great. Like, that's excellent in itself. And then also the next right thing is going to change, depend on your family's needs. And that's okay, too. That doesn't have to be rigid. So basically a question I thought of for the end is, how can serving others, which really in this setting is mothering your children, serving them to the full, like, can that make you full? And I think, yes, amen, it can. This is one of my favorite verses. I've shared it before, but Luke 1:46-48. And this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant.
Taryn's tag teaming me in real quick. So, okay, Jenny Beasley. Jenny says, always snuggle. I love that. Remember that they will not always want to crawl into bed with you at night. Love that. Never say never. That's a good one. Don't forget to date your husband. And sometimes you just have to get your hair wet.
That was when I shared a couple years ago. I remember when I was a young mom, I read this blog, and she was just like, getting your hair wet, men like getting on the floor, get dirty with your kids, jump in the ocean. So don't forget to get your hair wet, you guys. So I am subbing in for Terry Gunlock. She couldn't be here today. So I'm an honorary mentor mom today. But I wanted to share a story. I'm sharing a personal story, and I was kind of intrigued by, actually, Kelsey, your question last week after Dave spoke, just about having grace on yourself when we are mothering wholeheartedly, but we still mess up. And also, I feel like it went along with Javon's spotlight last week, too. So that's what I'm going to share, a personal testimony about that. When I think of the word wholeheartedly, I think of doing something with my whole heart. I would describe my motherhood this way. You guys, I'm a crier.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's not even sad. From the very beginning, I was all in. I loved being a mom, and I still do. It was all I'd ever wanted. And it was my dream to be a stay-at-home mom. When we would have career days in elementary school, I would always share that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. Having three little boys to raise was my dream come true. I truly loved it all. If you were to ask me what my favorite stage was, I would say all of them, except the young adults. That has by far been the hardest for me. I truly love being a mom with all my heart. But on the other side of that, I was so hard on myself when I'd mess up. On the days that were hard, days where I lost my temper, days where I said something I regretted, I would lay in bed at night and just cry, recounting all the ways I'd messed up that day. Even though I'd always tell my boys I was sorry, I would ask them for forgiveness, I had the hardest time forgiving myself. I knew all the verses about grace and forgiveness, and I knew in my heart that God forgave me, but I couldn't forgive myself. This went on for years. Not every day was hard. We had so many good days, but the days I messed up, I was really hard on myself. One weekend, I went up to Big Bear with a group of friends to pray together. During that particular time, I was going through some really hard things personally that I felt shame and regret over. I had asked God to forgive me and had confessed to him all that I was going through and feeling, but I still wasn't letting it go. The first night of our prayer weekend, I was silent. I couldn't pray or worship, and I just sat there. The second day, I began to pray quietly by myself. One of my best friends came over to me while I was praying, laid her hands on my back, and said, "Jenny, God wants me to tell you that he delights in you." She had no idea what my internal struggle was. I hadn't shared it with anyone, but she heard God's voice and spoke his truth over me. I sat there and just sobbed, and for the first time in my walk with the Lord, I understood his grace and forgiveness over me. I encountered him that day, and it was in that moment I felt completely washed clean. All these years of walking with the Lord, I had never understood his grace until that day. He delights in us, even when we mess up, even when we fail. He loves us unconditionally. This can only be a work from the Lord, but from that day on, I never struggled with not being able to forgive myself again. When I ask for forgiveness or repent now, it is wiped clean. I fully believe the verse, Psalm 103:12, that says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." Praise God. What a gift of grace that we are given the gift of forgiveness. Ever since that night in the mountains, I have kept the verse Psalm 18:19 on my refrigerator as a daily reminder over his delight over me. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I pray and speak this verse over all of you in this room. You serve a God that delights in you. When I think of God delighting over me, I think of it through the lens of my own motherhood. There is nothing my boys could ever do that would ever make me not love them. They are not perfect and never will be, but there is nothing they could ever do to make me love them less. God loves us even more than that. We are his children. He loves us and delights in us, even when we mess up. He gives us grace that we don't deserve. What a beautiful gift that is. I hope this encourages you that you can be mothering wholeheartedly and still mess up. We serve a God who forgives us. And through his grace, we serve a God who forgives us and gives us grace. New mercies every morning.
Next up, we have Michelle. So she said, always apologize to your kids when you wrong them. It teaches them how to apologize and forgive. Remember that your job is to discover who your children are and how God made them, not to mold them into miniature versions of you or your spouse. Also, they are each very unique. Don't expect what works for one to work for the other. Never compare your kids' weaknesses or strengths. This is not how God sees them or us. Don't forget to celebrate your wins in parenting. Write them down or put them on repeat in your Apple calendar. It's a great idea. So you can see them without meaning to. I love that. Sometimes you just have to use bribery. It works, and honestly, it's how the world also works sometimes.
Okay. Okay. I'm just going to start running. I mean, hit the ground running. Okay, in busy mom life, there's always something important that you're trying to focus on and do well. And there can be something else that feels annoying that's trying to distract you and keep you from doing the important thing. I think we can get mixed up and the something else becomes the important thing and our kids are the annoying thing distracting us and vying for our attention. So for me, being wholehearted can be stopping and asking myself, wait, which one is the important thing right now? Okay, I'm going to No, these stools are really hard for me. Okay, I'm going to stand, if that's okay. Okay, I'm in a really overwhelmed season right now. I think they call it the sandwich season. It's caring for your aging parents and your children at the same time. My father passed away about 20 years ago, and my mom is likely weeks away from passing away. She has severe FTD dementia. It's the kind that Bruce Willis has, if any of y'all know who he is. It's a cruel, sad, slow death. She's paralyzed and unable to speak, but fully aware of everything that's going on in her life. So I'm kind of in a, I'm bracing for the phone call. That's the mode I'm in right now. Waiting for the call so that I can hopefully get there in time to say goodbye and to start planning the funeral. Along with that, there are some pretty significant things going on with someone that God has put in our daughter's life. It's really tricky to navigate, and it's emotionally draining. I'm just trying to manage everyone's emotions right now, including my own. My daughter is having some normal teenage stuff bubble up, and if I wasn't so stressed out by all of these other things, I would gladly put on my supermom cape and dive in wholeheartedly. But I found myself saying out loud the other day, I do not have time for teenage drama right now.
I have a funeral to plan, an estate to get in legal order, and have to figure out how to love my daughter's friend while she's going through unbelievable trauma. Also, I'm taking seminary classes, and honestly, I would rather just disappear into that and hide in a cave. And I thought about this mentor mom panel and what I was going to share. I was so convicted. As hard as it is to believe, what I've learned from 22 years of parenting is that the teenage drama is the important thing right now. Making sure Tatum has her dress, her press-on nails, her shoes, and her eyebrows done for fall dance is much more important than me wallowing in my grief and the stress I'm feeling over situations that I cannot control. Often, and this can happen in any stage of parenting, you feel this pull to not let the masses down. And it's almost always something good, like helping a friend in need, or getting ready for a mentor mom meeting, or it can be prepping the egg dish for blessing tomorrow. Don't get me wrong, I know we constantly need to be aware of not making our kids the center of our universe. And sometimes what we need is even much needed downtime. What I have found is that I can take those opportunities to love my daughter or my sons by gently explaining to them, hey, mom made a commitment to something right now and it needs my attention. After I do this, I would love to fill in the blank, make muffins with you. And that is actually loving them well and making them a priority because it teaches them how to do that when they're in class and their friend is trying to get their attention and they're trying to do their work. So you actually can model that for them by making them second. So what I'm proposing isn't that we constantly drop everything and serve our kids anytime they need us. It's more of a heart posture of treating them with respect and realizing that they are not the thing trying to pull me away from my best life. What I realize in hindsight is that whatever the thing was, it was not the important one. Because when I get overwhelmed, I can sometimes get snappy and lose patience. When it's all said and done, I remember that the only people's opinion of me that I really care about are my three kids. I will definitely disappoint others along the way by putting them first. Okay, I'm going to give a trigger warning because this is about working moms. And I ask you to remember that this is my story. It has its own little nuances, and it applies to me. So you will understand why I'm saying that as I get on this. This does not apply to everyone. Okay, please listen with grace and picture me in my Mickey Mouse costume as David Hottis. Okay, when my kids were really young, I started a workout studio called Salt, and it actually did really well. And there was growing pressure to open more studios. So we opened another one and almost a third one. Then we were getting pressure to open them in other states and cities. I was really tempted by this. I pictured myself flying to different places like Colorado and Florida to check on my studios, but that would mean a lot of time away from my kids. I wanted to convince myself that it would be good for them to see me doing something so cool and that they would be proud of me. But I knew that what they really wanted was time with me. So I told my business partner I did not want to go forward. She was very disappointed, and the people that were asking us to open other studios were disappointed. It felt like I was being really tempted and beyond what I really felt capable of handling. I have one of those complexes of feeling like I'm just a mom. And this gave me the opportunity to really feel like I was important. It validated my ability to design a space, have strong people skills, and my concept had been successful. Execs from Lululemon were flying in to look at our space. Y'all, it was a huge ego boost, and my head was pretty big, not gonna lie. I also had a wound from growing up with a mom who was a workaholic. My mom is a brilliant person who literally wrote software. She's very, very smart, the one who has FTD, by the way. And she was never there. I knew that me choosing to be gone would be repeating what my mom had done and how it had hurt our relationship. Again, this is my story with its own nuances, and they're different from yours. My mom chose to work because it was fulfilling for her. She not only worked, she would work all night, and my sister and I, as latchkey kids, came home every day made ourselves dinner, did our homework, and then got up and walked to the bus stop again the next morning. One time after spending the night at a friend's house, I asked my mom if she could stop working so that we could spend more time together like my friend and her mom. And her answer was, if you want to live in our big house, in our nice neighborhood, then I need to work. So without hesitation, I answered, I don't care. I don't want that big house. I want to live in this neighborhood like Heather. My mom went silent. The truth was that she and my dad were the ones who wanted the big house in the big neighborhood. I wanted time with my mom. I remember on more than one occasion picking my kids up from school as they opened the door to get in the car. I would shush them because I had someone on the phone. It wasn't a long drive, but my kids sat in silence while I was on a business call over the speaker. One particular time, they were listening to me fire an instructor. While it did give me an opportunity to explain to them what had happened and tell them about the real world, we all know how important those first moments are after school. That's when you can gauge how their day was, and there's sometimes an opening window where they'll actually talk about their feelings. Please don't hear me wrong. If you are a working mom, I am in awe of you and the way you're juggling things right now, and I in no way want you to feel guilty for that. What I'm talking about is when faced with a choice that is not a financial one, more of an ego choice. For me, it was a clear-cut ego choice. This was feeding a huge hole inside of me to feel significant, and it was very tempting. I cannot tell you guys how happy I am that I did not continue in that direction. There's so many things about the workout studio space that are very much not aligned with God's purpose and image of us. Not that they are bad. I'm certainly not here to criticize workout studios. That's just the space that God used to teach me. I just think it's important for us to ask ourselves the hard questions. For me, it was much better for me to step out of that arena. I eventually sold my company to my business partner, and we have parted ways. I let go of salt slowly, in little bits at a time. By the time I finally sold it, it was a relief. I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity to spread my wings and be creative and see that I was capable of running a business. But as fun as it was not the important thing. All I have to do is look around this room, and I can tell you that this is a room full of go-getters. You're capable, and I promise when you're my age, you will be asked to chair events, run ministries, and companies. And that will be an honor and a thrill. What I'm proposing is that you remember that you are a mom first. Yes, of course, you're a wife first, and you're a daughter of God, but next, you are a mom. So I would say, while it's important to have other things going on to keep us from being too child-focused, when you're faced with having to cancel a meeting or when you feel your kid's temporary crisis pulling you away from other things, try to remember that the other thing is what's pulling you away from what's important. It's not your kid that's the agitator to the important. And that is how I am still trying to parent wholeheartedly.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Terry. Terry said, always pray for your husband and your kids. Remember that this stage will pass. Never say never. Don't forget to love your husband well. And sometimes you just have to go into a closet or a bathroom and scream.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Terry, and I'm a first-time mentor mom, and I'm delighted to be here with all of you, so thank you. I've been married to my husband, Jim, for 46 years, and I have three kids, two daughters in Nashville. They're married 38, 35, and a son, almost 32 this week, in Boise. And I'm the proud mother of five grandkids, four boys and a girl. And I just want to say, being a mom was the greatest joy and at times the hardest thing I've ever done. It was most challenging and most rewarding. In looking at our theme, parenting wholeheartedly, Colossians tells us, whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as working for the Lord and not for people. I looked up the definition of wholeheartedly. It means with complete sincerity and commitment. Check. That's not too hard. I think most of us are sincere and we're committed in our parenting. However, the other synonyms it listed were enthusiastically, heartily, warmly, fully, eagerly. Not always so easy to parent wholeheartedly with those adjectives. So how do we parent our kids wholeheartedly as working for the Lord? Here are a few of my thoughts that I prioritized or wish I would have prioritized. It was a little more practical things. Number one, be in unison and intentional with your husband on your parenting values and goals. Write them down and review them often, such as your faith goals, character qualities, discipline, responsibility, service, manners, etc. Pray over your family values and talk about them often with your kids. We are a family that, ... uses kind words. We are a family that helps one another, etc. Number two, mothering is exhausting. Ask for help. Ask your husband, your family, friends. I had to learn my husband was not a mind reader. Jim was always happy to help, but he just didn't see that the dishwasher needed emptying or something, diaper needed changing. Can't you smell it? But I had to ask, and he was willing to do it, but I just had to learn. I can't begrudge him. I had to ask. Also, ask grandparents for help if they're able. Even if you say, gosh, I'm really busy. Could you maybe drop off dinner for us, or could you watch the kids or whatever? As they're able, I know I love helping when I can. Also, other friends. Sometimes if you just even share babysitting with a friend for an hour or two, it can refresh you and give you a nice break. Number three, manage your expectations. This was hard for me. When things didn't go like I'd hoped or planned, I'd get frustrated, and I know the kids could feel my frustration. Don't be hard on yourself. We all have good days and not so good days. Number four, remember to laugh with your kids and at yourself. Laughter releases tension. I still laugh at myself when I go to put something in the refrigerator and I put it in the microwave instead. So, you know, you just got to keep laughing at yourself. Also, play together. We also highly valued playing together as a family. Playing board games, cards, games, hours of Legos with my son, building towers, knocking them down, tea parties over and over, sports, etc. Playing builds closeness as a family, and we did that. We did that well. I was happy about that. Laughter, maybe not as much, but playing. Number four, five, try not to isolate. I had a better attitude if I could get out of the house with my kids, either go for a walk, go to the park, talk to other moms, even just walking around Target just to get out of the house. I felt I was being a better, being out and around people was good for me and the kids. And be sure also to take time for yourself. Number six, be consistent with discipline. I encourage you to be in discipline unison with your husband. I made that up. I like that. Discipline unison with your husband. I learned from Terry Gunlock in MOPS to be a yes mom. Say yes as much as I could, but when I say no, to mean it. And I really tried to live that way. Yeah, if they want to get dirty, sure, yes. But when it was no, to mean it. Your no needs to mean no. Kids are smart, and they figure out quickly if you mean what you say. I believe that clearly expressed expectations and consistent follow-through produce responsible kids. And it's hard. It's hard. Number seven, don't compare yourself to others. Once at a baby shower, some seasoned moms were sharing advice to the mom-to-be. And the advice was, don't compare yourself to other moms, your kids to other kids, or your husband to their husband. This is particularly hard with social media. There will always be someone's child that walks before yours and yours before theirs. So what? Number eight. Eight and nine are two of my bandwagon as my encouragement. Number eight, invest in your marriage. Try to save energy for your husband. Regretfully, Jim often got my leftover energy, which wasn't much. Make time together a priority. Go on date nights, anniversary trips. Time alone without kids is vital to a good marriage and models that your marriage is your most important relationship besides God. Your kids will do fine and appreciate you more. I also believe a loving marriage brings security to your kids. And number 9, last but most importantly, pray, pray, pray. The Lord delights in your prayers. He loves you and he wants the very best for your family. As a mom, my prayers were often quick, bullet prayers, panic-stricken, barely awake prayers, or frantic prayers. But God wants them all. He is with us every step. Trust and rely on his goodness and his assurance that he loves our kids, our husbands, and us more than we can imagine. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Thank you.
All right, Amy Lawrence, always put your marriage first. Remember that the laundry will always be there. Never go to bed angry at husbands or kids, or singular husband, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Never go to bed angry at your husband or kids. sometimes you just have to drop everything and take the kids to the beach. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so a little disclaimer. I wholeheartedly was enjoying France for about 2 weeks and didn't look at my emails that today was our share day. So I literally came up to pray for breakfast and Taryn's like setting, I'm like, who's speaking today? And she looked at me like, you. So it was reminiscent of 10th grade geometry where I was quickly doing the homework before class. wholeheartedly, I loved being a mom, and that was what I kind of like Jenny, like I, that's what I wanted to be, and often felt like when people would ask, you know, you're like, this is what I want to do, like everything else, and I kind of still that way, everything else is not what I want to do, and I want to do that. So I didn't struggle with that tension that some people feel. In different phases of parenting, wholeheartedly meant different things. In the early years, I was all in and loved being a mom and raising boys and all that entailed. I really loved playing with them and hanging out with them, and that's kind of where the, you know, the laundry's always going to be there. You know, always, I wasn't the controlling mom that had a schedule and was really, you know, I was like, you know, as you can tell, because I didn't read my email. so I'm that mom. But, you know, I did love, like, I wholeheartedly loved, you know, one of my giftings is cooking, and I love doing that. And so, you know, having dinners at home and being around the table, and that was really important to us. You kind of wholeheartedly go into what your giftings are, and that's kind of a lane for you. And then you really just have to just give yourself grace and pray a lot for the areas that you struggle with. I struggled a lot with I have a temper and an anger that I didn't realize was there until you have kids. Well, I had horses, and, you know, you could let it fly with the horses too. But with the kids, you know, you that really is a sanctifier. And so when I say, you know, don't go to bed angry, there were times when I, you know, would have to with young kids, and that is just heartbreaking when you have to ask your young kids for forgiveness. But that was a really important part of, my motherhood journey. And then let's see what else. I didn't look at it as something to escape. Where I feel like there's a culture now where motherhood, you know, everyone has to talk about like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, and motherhood, and it's kind of a downer, and so then you feel like you have to be like, oh yeah, I had a really bad day too. And if you say, kind of like being a mom, they look at you like, oh, like, I don't know. So I'm really grateful I didn't have social media or an iPhone raising my, I mean, up to Spencer, he you know, because I would have gotten sucked into that. I find myself now on my phone, like, looking through Instagram and all that, and I think, ugh, what a joy sucker and a life sucker that would be, and keeping me from being wholeheartedly present with my kids, just because it's easy to do. I mean, you know, there's times where you have downtime as a mom and you're not really focusing on any, you know, you can do that. I guess General Hospital and laundry was my... Anybody remember General Hospital? Or were you a Days of Your Lives? Or Your Lives people? Anyway, I used to love to fold laundry and, you know, say, I have to do this and watch TV because, you know, kids or whatever. But anyway, I regress. So also, I just thinking back, just spent 2 weeks with just me and my husband. People were like, oh, are you going with a group? And we're like, no, just us two. And they're like, good luck with that. But we really had a great time. And I, like 2 weeks of, there was one night at dinner, I was like, I really need to talk to some other people. But all in all, like looking at people at other tables, like, talk to me. So, but I don't think we could enjoy 2 weeks away where we actually come home and still like each other without focusing on our marriage throughout each stage of our parenting, and really looking forward to a trip like that, because we are, you know, best friends and we can still talk and have a good time. I think, and also to that matter, you have to be realistic with each stage you're in. Like, you're not going to go to France for 2 weeks with your husband and leave all your, oh, maybe you do that. I don't know. We never really traveled a lot. We went on little dates and, you know, maybe get away for a weekend or something. But you have to be realistic with your expectations in your stage that you're in and where you are, and wholeheartedly be in that moment and not be looking down like, you know, Natalie and Trevor are not going to France anytime soon, and I'm not watching the kids for 2 weeks. So, date nights are great. Anyway, as the boys grew up, you know, it gets more challenging. I have to say, raised three boys, delighted in that. As they got older, it gets trickier. Just this culture, living in Newport Beach, raising boys in this, you know, I felt like I spent a lot of time hoping and sort of trying to keep them from stepping into all the muck out there, and probably more as a pride thing as a mom than really guarding their hearts. But it wasn't all about, you know, looking good. It was also trying to guard their hearts and to not just turn them into little moral people, but have them understand the why behind why you live as a Christian and why we're doing this and why we look different than the other people in this world. And honestly, I mean, we also had the idea, like, you know, just go to Newport Harbor, live it up there, and then, you know, I mean, fail at home is what, and they did. They did a great job failing at home, right, Jeannie? Some of you went to high school with my sons, but anyway, my point is you can't control everything. You have to surround yourself with a community that is like-minded, raise your family, not in fear, but pray and model your faith to your children. I feel like the biggest struggle kind of living in this is there is so many great moral Christian-ish people, but I feel like a lot of that is to control teen morality, I guess, more than really letting them struggle through the hard parts and being humble enough to accept that. So that would be my encouragement, is surround yourself with a community that is wholeheartedly invested in following Jesus, but also, you know, so you have some support and framework, but then also just letting God work their story, and that sometimes is very humbling. So that would be my and wholeheartedly pray for your kids and model that prayer and pray with your kids, just not like in your closet or, but pray with them about stuff that's going on in their life, and what's going on in your life as well. As your kids get older, you don't need to put that huge burden on them when they're little, but I think when they get older, they need to know your struggles sometimes too. Golly, this was, you know, and then I started talking to my table and I ran out of what I was going to say. Read your emails when you're on vacation.
At least once.
All right, last but not least, Miss Tammy Sanders, always have grace for yourself. Remember that your kids think you are the best human on the planet. That's a good one. Never underestimate the strength of a mama bear. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to ask for help. And sometimes you just have to remember that love covers a multitude of mistakes.
More disclaimers. If I had known I would be last, I would have never sat here. I wanted to be first.
Well, you guys come after me.
And you guys have been amazing. Also, I still write on paper, and I didn't staple it, so I'm just going to throw these to the ground as I'm done with them, because it's a lot to navigate up here. I'll hand them to you. Okay. What? Yeah. And I also went a little, I love how every talk was pretty different, because we've all experienced motherhood differently. And I'm going a little rogue on this one. It's very personal. My son gave me permission to share this, so here we go. Bear with me. Okay. Most of you know that I have four kids. They're very close in age. Drew is 26, Abby is 24, Annalise, we call her Lisi, is 22, and Allery is 19. My husband and I decided early on that I would be the one to stay home with our kids, and I was very happy to do that. I loved being a mom. I felt like it came naturally to me. I thrive in an environment, unlike Amy, that has structure, order, cleanliness, and harmony. Sorry.
My house was clean.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. And so I tried my best to raise our kids with these values and in a home that reflected these things while still having lots of fun and spontaneity. All this to say, I felt like I was doing a pretty kick-ass job at being a stay-at-home mom to four young kids. So to say that I wasn't equipped or prepared for what was coming when my son turned 14 is a laughable understatement. All of my parenting skills were put to the test. If anyone had asked me before this shift if I was all in or wholehearted as a mom, I would have not hesitated to say, yes, just look at my kids. They are amazing. Well, God has a funny way of reminding us to stay humble and keep surrendering to him. It was time to pivot because what was working before was not anymore. My son Drew and I are really close. We're buds. We love music and movies and share a very similar sense of humor. We have a sweet and easy connection, so I did not expect him to one day stop talking and sharing with me. We used to talk so freely, and he was a great and attentive big brother to his sisters, but all of a sudden he had very little interest in their lives. This new and emerging version of my son was quiet, moody, distant, and he wasn't very kind. He started questioning all of our rules and was breaking them, and he decided that church and youth group was dumb and a waste of his time. I did not like or appreciate this new version of Drew. I needed the old Drew back. When it became clear that that was not going to happen anytime soon, I had a choice to make. It started with me praying very differently. My prayers became more desperate and earnest. My cries to the Lord were very vulnerable and humble, and God met me there in a very profound way. I didn't know why at the time, but the two words that kept coming up for me were curiosity and hospitality. These two words became my battle cry for my son, because my go-to emotions were fear and anger and confusion. So I had to surrender my hopes and dreams for him and humbly accept this different version with curiosity and hospitality. And this is how it played itself out. I'm leaving out many, many details, but a sweeping version of how this played itself out. When Drew decided to become a skater kid and bring home a bunch of unruly and unsupervised skater boys to our house, I had to learn hospitality real quick and in a whole new way. Turns out many of these new friends of his were very sweet and extremely appreciative of my food and snacks, and exactly who Drew needed to bond with at that time in his life. He's still friends with many of them to this day, and some still come over, and we hang, and we talk, and we catch up on life, and they are very dear to me. I have a deep affection for these kids that looked very different than what I would have chosen as friends for my son. God was calling me to rethink the idea of keeping Drew in a nice sheltered bubble of Christian friends only and church every Sunday and a prestigious college in his future. Instead, I was called to get curious with him about Xbox and heavy metal and gangster rap. I tried very hard to have meaningful conversations with him around his latest tattoos and skateboarding and concerts at the observatory. There was so much letting go that I had to do in order to save my relationship with my son. He was worth it to me, and God was calling me to do it. I'm just going to wrap this up with an update on my son. He went to college and graduated with honors. And during this time when he was kind of rebelling, he, up to this point, he was very academic, was totally wanting to go to a really nice, wanted to be a lawyer, wanted to go to law school. And then all of a sudden, he was like, I don't think I'm going to college. Like, it was a real shift. And it was like, I had to get curious. Like, okay, what might that look like for you? Like, the fear was there, but I had to mask it with asking him questions. So the fact that he actually went to college and graduated with honors was amazing. He is an amazing, attentive brother, son, and friend. He has a very steady job that he's been promoted in. He's following Jesus, most importantly, and is always asking his friends to come with him to church. He goes to a very, he lives up in Sacramento, and he found this church that is very spirit-filled, and he is eating it up. He has many tattoos, but the latest of which is a dove right here that represents the Holy Spirit. It's my favorite tattoo of his. He, like me, is a music lover, and we often go to concerts together. Anyway, that's it. Oh, we're going to pass. For questions.
Well, we were just going to open it up for about 10 minutes for question and answer. If you guys had, that's it.
I don't have a question, but could you repeat the question for the recording?
So question and answers. If you guys have any questions, and you can, like, throw it out to the whole mass, or you can ask someone specifically, have at it. Any questions? Maria.
I thought of this before you guys even shared, but I feel like you guys have highlighted it in some ways, but just in the midst of all of us living in Orange County, I grew up in the Midwest, and it's obviously very different here. How do you wholeheartedly love in Orange County? I don't know if that's a huge question. Yeah, I mean, even just social media, a few of you mentioned that too. But like amidst that and maybe the comparison game a little bit, what does that look like here for you guys? Or have you always, grown up in that? Or
okay, I'm going to repeat the question only because we're recording for moms that aren't here. How do you wholeheartedly love in Orange County, especially when it comes to the social media comparison game, and it's very different from the Midwest?
Okay, I'll be really quick. This one's very, like, I'm like, give me that microphone. So I started out raising teenagers in the Midwest. And our particular situation was that I can tell you, in comparison, Midwest, Orange County, it's really not about geography. This is the world we live in. And social media has made us all have access to the whole world and everything that's in the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And whereas in the Midwest and places like that, I think there's a mindset that it's the material life and all that isn't as profound, but there's a lack of natural beauty. There's not the ability to go hiking or to the ocean, or there's not this acknowledgement that there's some, that there's bigger, there are things bigger than us. And life in that part of the world can be about what party are you invited to, social climbing. So it's really not a geography thing. I think that the most important thing is to, I would say, hands down, someone said this, I think it was Amy, you have to surround yourself with people who are trying to parent the way you are. It's impossible to tell your kid to put a cinder block on their back and swim upstream while they're watching their friends float down the river in an inner tube drinking a beer. Like, if you are not parenting the same way, you are going to be fighting it no matter where you live. So I think it, like, find people that are like-minded, not perfect. They don't even have to be, like, sleep trainers. Like, those are not the important things. It's like, is God first, and is he the authority in your marriage, and is he the authority in your parenting? Find those people, hold on to them for dear life, and when things go crossways with your kids, have the hard conversations. And I'm going to have one of those right after we leave today with a mom, by the way, so please pray for me. So just that's what's important. It's all about seeking God, because we may not all get to live in Orange County for the rest of our life or in the Midwest or wherever, but seek God first, I would say. That's my advice.
Natalie. Parenting well and wholeheartedly with multiples and trying to give all your children a good experience.
Well, one thing I just want to say is have grace on yourself, because it's going to be, you're going to parent one child is different than two is different than three. So just having that grace on yourself and not even doing that comparison game with your own self, like, oh, I didn't do this with the first one that I'm doing with the second, but you didn't have two with the first one. So having that grace on yourself. And then I remember Melanie always used to say this, and I agree with her. Be a student of your kids and know them. Like, Lily's going to need something different than Sage needs, and Magnolia's going to need something different than, and just knowing those differences and yeah, so I would say be a student of your kids. Know, like, for example, like Isaiah, he loved me to play with him. Tanner loved me to snuggle him. And Smush loved, he loved those little, like, Superman guys. Like, he loved me to sit on the floor and play Superman guys. And so just kind of, like, knowing what each individual kid needs and then having grace on yourself, because you are one person. And you are not going to be able to do it all. And you are not going to be the same parent to one. Because when you have one, they have all your attention, you know. And now it's multiplied. And that's okay. So.
I agree with that. As well as I just say, each of my kids I felt like had a season. You know, the firstborn has their, you know, time where they're all your attention, and then they go off to school, and then the second one gets a little more. And then my girls would say that my son was the most spoiled. Well, he really early on got the least of me. And so I think there's seasons too in parenting that, you know, you have more for one than the other. And I agree too with knowing each of them and carving out time. I felt sometimes the middle one for my daughter was, she, you know, I had to carve out time for her, and she, knowing them and their what they liked. So I think that's good.
Also, it's, I like to do this in my mind now that this is the first time, you know, you've been a mom of three kids. So, you know, this is the first time I've been a grandma of seven. You know, where when I only had one, it was it was really easy and cheap. So, yeah, you do have to give yourself grace, and even we have to give ourselves grace because, like, it's the first time we are, you know, helping with adult children and aging parents, you know. So reminding yourself, this is the first time I've done this, and, you know, it's our firsts, too, not just your kids' firsts.
We have time for one more question. No pressure. All right, Lauren Petrelli, let's go. Okay, the question is, what did help look like in different seasons, like mother's helper, mother-in-law, babysitter?
I wish I had asked for more help. So if I can just impress that on you guys, encourage you guys to not be the super mom, not think your care is always the best care, because if you're overworked, you're always overworked. You're always giving from probably a pretty low battery, and to accept help, take the time you need for yourself, whether it's reading or going for a walk, just being by yourself, meeting with a girlfriend for coffee, like get the babysitters, get the help, and know that they're going to be just fine for those few hours. And I was always so rejuvenated when I finally got to my limit and asked for help, but I wish I'd asked sooner.
I had my parents in town, so they watched the boys for date nights and things like that. My mom went back to work full-time when I started having kids, and I was like, I would have rather been a latchkey kid. And then you're around now. But
Shoot, Mom.
Anyway, yes. But also, we just, you know, did what we had to do to get by. So I guess we would have had more opportunities to do that, but I didn't get away a whole lot until the kids were older. And then we tag team, Robert and I.
I agreed, asking friends for help. When I was pregnant with my second in the afternoon, I could barely keep my eyes open. I was so afraid I was going to fall asleep and my older one was going to be running around. And so I had a neighbor across the street that had two kids. And I just would call her up. I'd go, can Tracy just come over and play for an hour? I've got to close my eyes. And she had two kids, and they had a ball. And it 1 hour would go to 2 hours. It was nice. So I think just asking for help and being creative. I know babysitting is really expensive, but when you can, or, you know, grandparents. We also, I had another friend who had one, and we would do date nights and watch each other's kids. And we would literally put the kids to bed. We'd leave the front door unlocked. And they would come in and just scoop up their daughter out of the pack and play and take her home. And we'd do the same. And my daughter would be so excited that she got to go over to Kate's house and, you know, play. And so I think it's just being creative and finding ways to get a break, because you do need it.
All right. I know we could go all morning doing questions, but we want to give you guys some table time. So let's give it up for our mentor moms. How good was that? So good. Thank you, guys. So go ahead and have table time and be back around 11:10.